Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The question our Lord poses to the disciples for Mark, this question is already answered as he begins his gospel with these words: "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." By verse 11, Mark includes the Heavenly Father's stamp of approval. "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased.'" Now Mark is showing us that this confession doesn't just appear out of thin air, as Matthew records for us our Lord's praising of Peter's confession: "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So Jesus does a little polling. He asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" First he asks, "Who do others say that I am?" And after getting their answers, he puts it a little more pointed: "But what say you?" This is where you see the rubber hits the road. "But who do you say I am?" Peter responds, "You are the Christ." Luke tells us that Peter adds, "The Christ of God." And Matthew, giving us the fuller explanation or proclamation, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's a mouthful. What a powerful confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This confession, even the gates of hell cannot prevail against. This confession of Peter's, "You are the Christ," doesn't allow for multiple differing views on Jesus. Either he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or he's a madman who could use a rubber room and a nice set of jackets with sleeves that tie in the back. We could even say that if all we had was Peter's confession, not connected to anything else in Scripture, we could be left with doubts. But as Mark has already clearly shown, the Heavenly Father also makes this confession, making Peter's confession one that is built solely on the Word of God. Now, having cleared up who he is to the disciples, or at least we think he has, Jesus begins to tell them what the Christ means. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed after 3 days and rise again. And he said this plainly." No parables, no Daniel and John apocalyptic revelation. Plainly Jesus speaking, "I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die, but I will rise again on the third day." Seems simple enough, doesn't it? And for this, Peter took him, the Christ, the Son of the living God, aside and began to rebuke him. Think about that for just a second. You're God, but you just said something I don't like, so now I have to rebuke you for this. Bad God. Bad God. Right? Yet this sin is common among us all. We all fall into Peter's problem here, desiring a different Christ. Suffering is not part of our plans. Being rejected doesn't sound like fun. We want a Savior who meets us on our own terms, one who abolished the law rather than fulfilling it in our stead. Then we wouldn't need to be reminded of our sins, you see. We could skip out on going to church, parenting our children, respecting those placed in authority over us by God. We want a God that tells us it's okay to feel the way we do. Go ahead. Reject God's created orders for church, body, family, and sex. God didn't really mean it after all. I mean, if I were God, heaven forbid, this is how I would work. We want a God who winks at our sins but takes everybody else's very seriously. To this and any other self-centered desires we have, we must hear our Lord's rebuke spoken to Peter as if it's spoken directly in our ears and before our eyes. Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. This is why Christians' confession of sins and desire for Christ's absolution in itself is more important than air. Breathing out our sins and breathing in Christ's absolution and God doing the CPR for us daily and continually. This is what Christians need. And Christians will not accept substitutes. It's our lifeblood. Actually, it's Christ's blood poured out for you. St. Paul tells us to rejoice then in our suffering. What is he, crazy? Who's going to rejoice in their suffering? But he says in Romans 5, "For then that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through His Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." Paul and Mark are only confessing what has been poured into our hearts, what has been poured into their hearts by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Jesus the Christ suffered. Why would we ever think that we wouldn't have to suffer as well? We have been found worthy to suffer with Christ, which means the world will reject us, even our friends and our family will at times reject us. But we must remember that when they reject us, it's not just us they reject. It's the Christ. It's Jesus. And it's not just Jesus they reject, but it's the Father who sent Him. The Father who loves this world so much that He had sent His only begotten Son to suffer and die for them and us. Hear the words of Jesus. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And you see, taking up our cross means to be put to death daily. To put to death the sinful nature. This drives the Christian then to confession and absolution, to the waters of their baptism, to the Lord's Supper. For in these we are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection as the Word and the Spirit has its way with us. In Christ Jesus we have been redeemed. Don't let Satan's tempting game lead you to doubt, making you wonder if you've done enough, because I assure you, you haven't any more than I have. That's why Jesus came. That's why the Christ, the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. This is why Paul is so blunt in Romans 5. "For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore you have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Today, by grace through faith, may our eyes be fixed on the things that are above as we receive a foretaste of the feast that is to come. Come and receive the Lamb of God given and shed for you, for me, for the forgiveness of our sins, and the confidence and comfort of our salvation. Who do you say that Jesus is? The answer is given only by the gift of faith through the work of the Holy Spirit as Christians confess and join their confession with Peter and Mark and all the apostles and prophets that Jesus is the Christ who died and rose for us and calls us to take up our cross daily and follow him. For our true comfort and peace comes only in Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection, even as we await his triumphant return in glory. So may we never forget we are but strangers here, and heaven is our eternal home. And by the way, we no longer need to keep this to ourselves. We have now been charged to spread it, this word, to the ends of the earth. And so let us go forth in joy. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for all people in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, in these Lenten days, set our minds on your things rather than the things of man, that we may deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow your Son through this life into the joys of his resurrection.